Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We have already learned, haven't we, that the book of James is an exceedingly practical epistle. You recall that in the 104 verses that constitute the five chapters of the book of James, there are 52 imperatives, 52 commands, 52 times that Pastor James, by the Spirit of God, says, do this, don't do that, and they almost always have to do with very practical areas of Christian truth. And we've certainly come upon one of those in verse 21 of chapter 1, where we are taught how to benefit from the Word of God. Surely as believers we know that God's Word is our necessary food. We understand the importance of reading it and hearing it taught and receiving it into our lives, but we may not know that there are things that we can do to hinder it and other things that we can do to enhance the reception of God's Word into our soul. And that's what Dr. James is teaching us when he says in James 1:21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. So, we'll look at that more fully in a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, February 24. And I'm sure you haven't forgotten that we do depend upon the gifts of God's people to remain on this station. How to benefit from God's Word? In this one verse, James gives us three things. Number one, the necessary preparation. Number two, the required attitude. And number three, the blessed result. If we will prepare in the way that James tells us, and we will approach the Word of God with the attitude that James instructs us to, we will enjoy a blessed result that is described in this text. So here we go again. Number one, what is the necessary preparation? It is to get sin out of our lives. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. You cannot receive God's Word to much benefit unless you are dealing with your sin. It's that way for the unconverted person. You take an unregenerate man and expose him to the Word of God, and it doesn't have much impact until and unless the Holy Spirit convicts him of sin, and he begins to wrestle with his sin and to see, perhaps for the first time, his sin as a major problem in his life. He realizes that he is guilty of sin, that he will have to give an account of before God, that his sin has condemned him, that he is deserving of eternal destruction because of his sin, and he is concerned about his sin. Now he is getting ready to receive the Word of God because he is dealing with sin for the first time in his life. And that work of the Holy Spirit in preparing him to receive God's Word not only makes him aware of his sin, but causes him to reject his sin, to acknowledge that it is wrong, and to cry out to God for help, for deliverance, for cleansing. And what that describes is a soul in which the Word of God is now being received. Well, James is writing not to unbelievers, but to believers. Not to the unregenerate, but to the regenerate, or at least to those who profess to be believers, and I would think that in most cases are, and I think it's apparent that James considers them to be. And to believers, he says, therefore, because he's talking to believers clearly in verse 19 when he says, so then, my beloved brethren, he's talking to Christians. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, verse 21, our text for today, therefore, a continuation of what he said in verses 19 and 20 when he was addressing beloved brethren, therefore, lay aside, beloved brethren, lay aside, Christian friend, lay aside, you who are a follower of Jesus Christ, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Yes, Christians have to deal with sin too. It's a lifelong requirement, a lifelong endeavor. We have to deal with today's sin. Today, and tomorrow we'll have to deal with sin again, and the day after we'll have to deal with sin again. That's why we are told in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, again writing to believers, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In John chapter 13, Christ likened sin in the life of a believer to the dust that gets upon the feet of those first century people who walked around in sandals. Remember when Jesus girded himself with a towel and he went around the table and he was washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said, oh no, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. That's not right. I should be washing yours. I'm the servant. You're the master. And Jesus said, Peter's sentiment was good to recognize that he should be serving Christ, not Christ serving him. But of course, Christ came to serve men. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you won't have any part with me, Peter. Think that through. And Peter said, well, in that case, then not just my feet, wash all of me. Well, give me a bath. Wash me all over. In other words, he was trying to express in the same analogy that Christ had just expressed, Peter was trying to say, well, I certainly want a part with you. I want as much of you as I can possibly get. It was a wonderful expression of his love for Christ and his desire to have as much of Christ as he possibly could. If this is what it takes, wash me all over, said Peter. But Jesus said, Peter, you've already been washed. You don't need to be washed all over again. You just need your feet washed. That is an illustration. It's an analogy, a very helpful one. Before we come to Christ, we need a bath. We need to be washed all over. We need to be cleansed. That's justification. We need to be made righteous before God, righteous in our standing with God. That's justification, and we are justified by faith. And justification is a one-time action where God cleanses us. He washes us when we trust in the merits of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we walk through this world, we pick up dust on our feet. We pick up sin in our life. And now it's not a matter of justification. If we belong to Christ, we have been justified. We don't need to be justified again. We can't be justified again. That's impossible. We can't take another bath, in the analogy that Christ used. That's impossible. But the sins that come into our life hinder our fellowship with Christ. It's not a matter of justification. It is a matter of communion. It's a matter of fellowship. It's a matter of effective service. It's a matter of our relationship with Christ, now that we are His child and that we are part of the family of God. Sin grieves our Heavenly Father, and therefore it grieves us because it moves us at a farther distance spiritually from our Heavenly Father. It takes away the joy of our relationship with Christ. We've got to deal with this sin, and so we've got to confess it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise. Yes, we will pick up dust on our feet, but yes, there is a remedy. Acknowledge it. Confess it. Say the same thing about it that God says. That's really the basic meaning of the word confess. In other words, we've got to take from the Bible, the Word of God, the understanding of our sin that God has given us, and we have to take God's side against ourselves. Our natural inclination is to hide our sin, rationalize our sin, justify it, excuse it, minimize it. But God's Word does none of that. God's Word identifies it and magnifies it and tells us to acknowledge it, to deal with it, but it tells us also how to do that. If we confess our sins, if we say the same thing about our sins that God says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we must do regularly in order to be able to receive the Word of God with profit. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and in that condition, receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Sinful actions in the life of the child of God can be put off. They can be. When we refuse to put off what God says is sin, we block the ability to receive more truth from God. And we sometimes become angry persons. And therefore, we need to eliminate everything that is contrary to the Word of truth if we're going to continue to benefit from God's Word. We've got to put away every sin that the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, reveals to us. Repentance is a lifelong activity. When we become Christians, we become lifelong repenters. We repented when we first came to Christ, but we have to continue to repent as long as we are in this world, and let's do so in order to receive with profit the eternal Word of God. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.